You're tuned in.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time in Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to the Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Hope everybody's having a great Tuesday morning as the rain and fog slowly filter their way out of the New York City and New Jersey area, and hopefully have a nice week so as we get into the mid-60s. Should be pretty good. Not a whole lot of news coming out of yesterday. The biggest news, I suppose, is that Andre Brown tweeting out a picture after the Texans do as well. He retweeted it of his signing a contract with the Houston Texans. So he will be the backup to Arian Foster this year, and the Giants now, of course, have Rashad Jennings and Peyton Hillis. Got a couple tweets of Giant fans that were upset about the Andre Brown signing, but again, bottom line here, guys, can't stay healthy, fumble issues end of the year. I think the Giants are ready to move on and try to find more reliable players, something Andre Brown has never managed to be. But the good news is we will see Andre Brown here at MetLife Stadium at some point during the season. The Giants do host the Houston Texans this year, so it'll be good to have Andre Brown back in the house. We continue to talk about the draft, and we will take your calls at 201-939-4513 and look at your Twitter comments at hashtag GiantsChat. But before we do, I had a chance yesterday to catch up with Greg Giannotti, who is the sideline reporter that covers the Pittsburgh Panthers for the CBS radio affiliate down there in Pittsburgh. Had a lot of cool things to say about Aaron Donald, and we'll talk to him right now, and then we'll take your calls at 201-939-4513. By the sideline reporter for Pittsburgh Panther football. That is Greg Giannotti. Also does a good job on the morning show down there in Pittsburgh. Greg, longtime friend of mine back in the FAN days. Good to talk to you, man. How's everything going down there?
I'm doing great, Schmelk. What's up?
Nothing much, dude. Well, let's talk about your guy, Aaron Donald. He's kind of catapulted up draft boards since his performance at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine. What was your take on him and overall impression, generally speaking, first, watching him the last 2 years covering Pittsburgh football?
Well, you know, last year this guy was as dominant a force as anybody I've ever seen play the game. And I really mean that. And he single-handedly won a game playing defensive tackle, and that was up at Syracuse. He dominated that game, blocked an extra point, Pitt won by 1 point. And that's the type of player, and that's the type of impact that he can make on a game from that position at his size. Now, I know in the NFL, we're talking about bigger guys that he's going to be actually dealing with, but I think that his quickness and strength lends itself so much to being able to get off the ball, be able to be that guy in a 4-3 defense, a defensive tackle that can play at that level. Now, people are going to say, you know, he's not nearly big enough to do it, but he makes up in other areas. And as far as a guy, and I was around him for a couple of years, I probably interviewed him a million times. He is as down-to-earth, as grounded, as intelligent, and really respectful kid. And he's not a kid. I mean, he's a man now. I'm rooting for this guy just because, he's everything that an NFL player should be, and everything that he does doesn't surprise me. His 40 times didn't surprise me. His bench press didn't surprise me. The fact that he cleaned up on every award he was nominated for didn't surprise me. So when he's a great NFL player and he goes in the first round and goes to a couple of Pro Bowls, that's not going to surprise me either.
And I ask this question with great purpose because Greg is a huge Vikings fan, grew up loving the Vikings. I've heard the Donald-John Randall comparisons. Your thoughts on that?
I brought that up before. I think a lot of people did. I mean, I remember seeing him, and I know Geno Atkins is somebody that people bring up a lot because he's more of a modern-day guy, but that was one of the first things that we talked about early on about his NFL prospects. And I said, you know, I saw a guy, you know, when you, John Randall is my favorite player to ever play in the NFL. I've got a John Randall signed jersey in a, you know, in a case that's on my wall.
Nice.
You know, and I thought of him right away. I saw that guy dominate with speed and quickness and guile and smart. And to me, there's no reason, you know, why Aaron Donald can't do the same thing. John Randall coming out of a small school in Texas, you know, probably didn't face the same amount of talent that Aaron Donald did. So I think he's even in a better position than John Randall was to come in and make an impact. Now, John Randall's a Hall of Famer. I'm not going to sit here and say Aaron Donald's going to be a Hall of Famer. But as far as you're breaking down where both of those players were at this point in their career, you know, I would probably put Aaron Donald ahead of him.
Now, in terms of role in the NFL, do you see him as the perfect three-technique, quote-unquote, pass-rushing defensive tackle that you put next to that 315-pound horse at the nose, and you say, look, you play the run, but we want you to get after the quarterback and collapse that pocket?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's not a 3-4 guy. He's a 4-3 defensive end, and absolutely. Another Viking comparison, even though he kind of went away later in his career, but Chris Hovan was really good in his early portion of his career with the Vikings. I see him playing a role like that where, all right, I have to get off the ball. I've got to be in the backfield. You know, the guy next to me can be the big hunky, like you said, you know, 400-pound, you know, fatso, and I'm just going to get at the quarterback and I'm going to disrupt. And he can break double teams, man, with his speed. I've never seen a guy Pitt, as much as I had fun covering them, you know, they've had a couple of really mediocre seasons the last 2 years, and their defenses have been okay. You know, a couple years ago, they were better than this past year. But everybody knew going into these games that they had to stop this guy. And I bet you there's nobody on earth that can name the rest of that defensive line. You know, he played next to Tyrone Ezell. You know, his defensive end, he had a freshman in Shakir Soto at one defensive end, a guy named Brian Murphy, who was good for like two plays a year at the other defensive end. Everybody knew they had to stop Aaron Donald, and they couldn't do it. Hey, take a look at his stats in the Syracuse game. Take a look at his stats in the Georgia Tech game, the tackles for loss. It's unbelievable. So if you put him, I know the competition is going to be tougher and guys are going to be bigger, but you put him next to a really good defensive tackle on a great defensive line somewhere, and I'd just be sitting back watching and probably amazed at what he'd be able to do playing next to some talent.
Now, there's no way to obviously predict how a guy's going to translate that production and those skills to the NFL, but do you foresee a fairly smooth transition for Donald? Will he be able to step in and contribute in year one right away, or is there going to be some level of development that's going to have to take place before he does that?
I don't think that there's going to be much, because he is so mature. He's such an adult, so I'm not worried about him having issues with that. He is so polished with his technique and his speed. I keep mentioning that off the ball. I think that right away. And if you watch him in the Senior Bowl, you know, when you watch those Senior Bowl practices, I mean, these are some of the types of guys he'll be going up against. And he was dominating men. I mean, so I really think that he can step in, he could start right away without any hesitation, without much of a problem.
Now, you mentioned a couple times what a good guy that he is. I imagine you believe that he would be able to handle what you well know is the media crush of New York and everything else that goes along with it.
Yeah, and listen, he's not a great interview. I'll be honest with you there. He doesn't like to talk because all he cares about is football. He doesn't want the attention. He's uncomfortable with the attention. But it doesn't distract him. He just would rather not do it sometimes. Like, I don't know, why do you want to hear from me type of stuff.
Right.
It's not like he big-timed anybody. Just like, I don't understand why anybody wants to talk to me. All I do is make tackles. That's all I want to do is play football. But he'd be able to handle it. I mean, he's very mature, and his parents are some of the nicest people that I've come across, and they raised him right. And I think any situation you put him in, he's going to come out good. Now, I mean, New York, you know, Giants end up picking this guy. Of course, there's going to be a ton of attention on him because he'd be in the first round. You know, however, it's not like he's a quarterback. It's not like he's a wide receiver. You know, it's not like he's coming out of some place that everybody saw him play. So, you know, he'll stand up there, he'll answer some questions, people will be interested in him. But he's got nothing in his past he has to worry about. You know, there's no issues he's going to have to address. He'll just say, yeah, I love football, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to be great for you guys, and, you know, people are going to love him, you know, the second he steps out there on the field, because he will produce.
Now, you've mentioned it a couple times during this interview already, Greg. If there's one, and we're joined by Greg Giannotti, sideline reporter, covers the Pittsburgh Panthers down there in Pittsburgh. If there's one red flag with Donald, it's the scouts talk about his size. He's just 6'1". He's just 285 pounds. His arm length, I know, which is a big deal with these talent evaluators, isn't where they want it to be. That obviously never affected him at the collegiate level. Do you see that being an issue, or is he as that good of a football player? We're overcoming maybe, you know, some of those physical, you know, measurement issues won't be much of an issue.
I think he'll be able to overcome it, especially with some of his the other things that he's so good at. I mean, he's developed his quickness, and his hands, I mean, are unbelievable. He's almost like he's doing jiu-jitsu out there with his hands and being able to get off blocks. So I don't think it's going to be an issue. But, I mean, it's one of those things where you're not going to be able to know until you start seeing them in a couple of preseason games, and I don't believe so. You can, you know, last year with Pitt moving to the ACC, you know, they played Florida State, you know, first national championship team. They played them first week of the year. He didn't have problems against an offensive line. You know, they played Notre Dame. They played them last year when they were the number one ranked team at Notre Dame. Pitt should have won that game. He didn't have problems there. You know, the Giants know about drafted a tackle, you know, out of Syracuse. They produced big-time linemen, and he didn't have problems against any of those guys. So the big-time competition that he's faced at the collegiate level, he's never had a problem. I mean, he dominated every single game he played in last year. I mean, it's as simple as that. So I cannot foresee a situation where he does not succeed if he's healthy. I have never been so confident in a projection for a player in my life, because, first of all, I saw every one of his games from field level the last 2 years. I spent time around him. I got to know him personally. I saw him in every situation. I saw the lackluster talent he was surrounded with. And he had a first-year defensive coordinator the last 2 years as well. He had a guy named Anoki Brechterfield as his defensive line coach the last couple of years, who doesn't have a ton of experience. He overcame every obstacle and dominated. And I've never seen a defensive tackle single-handedly win a game, like I mentioned before. And he did that. Anybody who can do that is going to be fine at any level.
Well, you know what? I guess the real important question for me to ask then, you know, you're a Viking fan. They pick at 8. That high, would you be comfortable with them taking Aaron Donald based on what you know about him?
I'd be thrilled, just because at this stage of my life, you know, I'd be happier for him than I would
right.
for my football team that I root for. You know, things change when you get a little bit older.
I know it.
As big of a fan as I've been, you know, to me, he gets drafted in the top 10, I'd be happy for him. But that would be a little bit of a stretch.
Okay.
I think he's going to be great. But, you know, if there's one of those quarterbacks available there at 8, Mike Zimmer has to look there. But I'll tell you right now, I don't know how Mike Zimmer couldn't love this guy. I mean, this, you know, defensive coordinator like that, tenacity that he has, the type of attitude that Mike Zimmer has when he looks at Aaron Donald, he probably salivates. So if he takes him, I'd say, wow, you know, that's a little higher than I expected, but I'm going to feel great for the kid because he's earned every bit of that.
So you would say somewhere between 12 and 16 is where you would figure he's going to go in this draft?
Yeah, I would. I would anything lower, you know, I projected around, you know, 25 would be the worst for him. That's what I think. But I would say it's as probably as high as 12 and 25 in there would be. You know, I could see him slipping a little bit just because people really are all about that size. But then again, you think about what he did. You know, I mean, you talk about size, fine. But you put him in these drills, he's kicking everybody's butt. You know, at the combine, he runs a 40 like a gazelle, you know, at his weight. Senior Bowl, he was unbelievable. So, you know, maybe he doesn't slip because of that. But I'm guessing somewhere, like you said, around 12 to 16 is where I would project.
Final question for Greg Giannotti, sideline reporter covering the Pittsburgh Panthers down in Pittsburgh. Anybody else coming out? I know you said it's been a rough couple of years, so not a ton of seniors and juniors coming out for the Panthers. Anybody else that fans should keep an eye on either in the mid to late rounds?
You know, Tom Savage, the quarterback, I was so disappointed in the season he put together because he had all the tools. He's prototypical. He's got a cannon of an arm. Gil Brandt, the great Gil Brandt, now working for NFL.com, built all those great Cowboys teams in the 70s. You know, he was all over Tom Savage this year, you know, saying that he could be a guy that projects. He got hurt, had some very tough injuries to deal with. But, you know, I think if someone takes a chance on him, you know, sixth or seventh round, or he's an undrafted free agent, I could see him, you know, making a career as a backup quarterback. Other than that, Devin Street, wide receiver, he really came into his own last year, and I could see him contributing. I don't know. I haven't heard much about him as far as workouts, if he's being interested. We're not talking about Shady McCoy, Darrell Revis, you know, LaRon Stephen Towling, Larry Fitzgerald anymore. There's one guy, and it's Aaron Donald. But Devin Street and Tom Savage, I could see finding their way onto a roster somehow.
Greg, appreciate the time. Great stuff. We'll talk to you again real soon, all right?
Thanks, Schmelk. My pleasure.
That is Greg Giannotti, sideline reporter, covers the Pittsburgh Panthers down there in Pittsburgh. We thank him for joining us. 201-939-4513.
And let's get right to our phone calls right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Thank you for holding. Obviously, really good things said about Aaron Donald right there. And shockingly, all four callers want to talk about the NFL draft. I feel like that's going to be the case probably for the next month. So let's get right to it and say what's up to Nugs in Minneapolis first. What's going on, Nugs?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
What do you got, Nugs?
I felt some type of way about y'all response to my name change, man. I'm the caller formerly known as Tim from Minneapolis. You know, and I thought the reference was obvious. It was nothing nefarious about it. It was like, I'm giving you nuggets to think about, you know, and you break down to the Chase.
Okay, I like that.
So, I got a question for you. Doesn't really have anything to do with anything that's going on today. Eventually, we're going to restructure Eli. I've been thinking about this.
Well, I'm not sure if you're eventually going to restructure him. I think you're going to make a decision of what type of contract extension you want to give him. And next year is the last year of his contract. So there's no more restructuring. This is basically a contract extension.
So what do you think would be, you know, what do you think the numbers are going to look like? Because I just saw Jay Cutler get a phenomenal contract, and I'm like, you know, he's a bum.
You know, first of all, I wouldn't call Jay Cutler a bum. I think that's a little strong.
He's never won anything.
There are a lot of great quarterbacks in this league that haven't won anything, for one. Number two, Nugs, what I'll say is this. I want to wait and see what happens this year with the team's record and with Eli Manning's performance before I give you years and numbers. If he has another year like he had last year, guess what? I'm not giving him a super long and big contract because that's now 2.5 straight years where he hasn't played well. And I'm not going to throw $17 million at a guy per year if he's coming off two bad seasons. Nugs, you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
All right, thanks, bud.
All right.
Have a good one, man. Sorry, your line's breaking up there a little bit, Nugs. 201-939-4513. His brother from another mother, that would be Shakes in Baltimore, Maryland. What's going on, bud?
Nugs, all right. Now that he explained it, it seems more sense now. Now I can roll with the name now. It makes more sense. These Giants fans are crazy.
What do you got for me, Shakes? This is your fault, you know. He's getting these ideas from you.
I know. I'm turning Giant Nation out, man.
All right, Shakes, what do you got today?
I got, you know, I was just listening to Donald. the guy that's promoting Donald. You should be Donald's agent. I mean, oh, wow. Like, I knew he was going to be a homer. I knew that. But, geez.
Well, Chase, I can tell you for sure. Look, Greg's only lived in Pittsburgh for 2 years, so he has no loyalty to the state or the program. It's his job. So anything he said about Donald is what he's seen, and he's being honest about it. It's not like he grew up a Pittsburgh fan or anything like that.
Okay. Because that was another thing I wanted to know, because, you know, he was like, this prospect is, you know, something he ain't seen in years. And I've been saying that, like, he's a special defensive tackle. Like, you're not going to see that come around very often. But I was like, didn't Shady McCoy come out? You ain't see this and Shady? That, you know?
Well, I mean, Shady McCoy was, what, 6-7 years ago now? He's been in the league a while.
Yeah, that's why I was saying, like, I thought he was there for a while, the reporter.
Right.
Where as though he's seen Shady, and then he's saying, well, Donald is the best I see. I'm like, whoa. Like, wow, that's high praise. Like I was saying, man, if Evans is gone, man, we got to pick Donald, man. I'm not – like I said, Ebron is a special tight end, and I got worries about him. But I wouldn't mind if he was picked, but I still would like Donald over him. Me? I even like C.J. Mosley over Ebron. I don't like even if we pick Mosley over Ebron.
C.J. Mosley's injury issues in his collegiate career don't worry you. He's been banged up like crazy, and that's playing against college guys. Playing up against grown men in the NFL, I would worry about his injuries.
Yeah, that's what I am worried about, and we do not need another injury-plagued linebacker. That's one thing we do not need.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Shakes, I think if Mosley stays healthy, he'll be great. I'm just not sure he can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because what I'm thinking about him, when I say I pick him over Ebron, is just his on-field. When he plays on-field, when he plays, guy's a monster. The guy, his awareness is a beast. Like, oh, that's the type of linebacker you love. But, again, he got to stay healthy. Gonna be another Aaron Curry. last thing I wanted to say is this defensive line. I don't really think that defensive end is a priority now. I mean, like, it's okay if we add another body, but I kind of like the rotation of Ayers, Mathias, JPP on the other side, and Moore coming off, you know, backing up JPP.
Well, Shakes, frankly, I think your rotation at both defensive line spots is okay. I just think you're missing in general, and you can include ends and tackles in this mix, another pass rusher to help JPP on the defensive line. So if you can find a pass rusher somewhere, and this is why I think Aaron Donald is valuable, at any point in the draft on the defensive line, I think you take him, because I think that's where you need some help still.
Yeah, it's that guy, the offensive end, that a lot of people is high on, but I can't remember his last name.
Coney Ealy?
No, not him. I mean, he's good, but I see him being in, like, the late 20s, picked up in the late 20s. His first name is Kareem.
Kareem Martin?
Yeah.
Kareem Martin is a middle-round pick out of North Carolina. I talked to a couple guys down there in North Carolina that I know. And, you know, they think he'll be a solid pro. He's not a big-time pass rusher, more of a run stopper. So if you pick him in the middle rounds, he could be one of those guys that maybe could be a solid starter. But don't expect anything close to double-digit sacks out of him.
Ah, see. And it's not a lot of guys that you were really high on that's going to get double-digit sacks in this draft besides Clowney and maybe Ealy.
You know what, and one kid I really like in the second round, and he might even sneak into the end of the first round the way it's going, is I'm a big Scott Crichton guy from Oregon State. He's a defensive end, 6'3", 270. He's a true 4'3 defensive end. I think he could be a player in this draft and could be a factor. Now, some boards have him and Kareem Martin, you know, around the same area in terms of rankings. I like Crichton a lot better. I see him as more of a 2. I see Martin as more of a 3. But, you know, and then you have D. Ford, who's obviously a pass rusher off the edge. He's more of a 3-4 outside linebacker. He's only 250 pounds. And then you mentioned Coney Ealy, who's a bit of a developmental guy. So, you know, this draft is deep. It's not crazy deep in terms of pass rushers.
Right. What do you like about Crichton, though? Is he a pass rusher or is he like a two-way guy like Tuck?
He is a two-way guy, but he has a very, very good ability to get to the quarterback. I think he's a guy that could be a double-digit sack guy down the road.
Okay. All right, last thing I want to do is plug. You know, I wanted to plug. Join us on Fab Day, hashtag Giants Draft Chat, and, of course, join us on Smelt. I'll be on Giants Draft Chat, too. I mean, Giants Chat. So hashtag Giants Draft Chat. Hashtag Giants Chat. I'll be on there on draft.
Holla
at your boy. At BBN Uncensored. All right, man, I'm out. Thanks, John.
I got to start charging you for advertising time, Shakes. Jeez. And by the way, we are going to have our draft night live program, just FYI, on Giants.com the Thursday night. That'll be Papa Banks and somebody else. I don't know who else is going to be on the show with them. Tino might make an appearance at some point. I'll be at Radio City following reports from there. Then on Friday night, it'll probably be me and Tino again doing day two as we get the Giants second and third round picks live. And again, though, the first pick on Thursday live, all the best breakdown of these players, which frankly I'm going to be preparing a lot of. So all the stuff you hear on the show in the morning, it's kind of a sneak preview of what these guys are going to be saying on the shows on Thursday and Friday night of the draft. So make sure you check it out. 201-939-4513. By the way, folks, and a lot of you guys complain sometimes it's tough to get in, a lot of busy lines. We actually have a couple open lines for the first time in what seems like a month today. So if you guys want to get in, now is the time at 201-939-4513. Let's go to John down in Virginia. John, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing great, John. What's going on with you?
Hey, I would like to see the Giants pick up Chris Johnson.
Why is that, John? I don't think he has a lot left in the tank.
I know we have some running backs, but we need somebody that can, when you got an open hole, boom, or have that sideline open, boom, he can bust right down there.
Do you think he's the same player he was when he rushed for 2,000 yards? I mean, he averaged less than 4 yards a carry. Rushed for less than 4 yards a carry last year. He hasn't gone over 1,300 yards in a couple of seasons.
But he didn't have the offensive line. I mean, Giants are going to have a good offensive line this year.
They are? Are we sure about that?
I'm almost positive we are. They're going to do well in the draft with the offensive line.
So you think the Giants are going to go first round or second round with an offensive lineman?
Yes, I do.
See, my worry about Chris Johnson, look, last year the Titans did address their offensive line. They drafted Chance Warmack in the first round, who was the consensus best guard in the draft, and his numbers got worse. They didn't even get better. Clearly he has a personality issue down there. He's always mouthing off. If you're telling me I'm getting the Chris Johnson from 3 or 4 years ago, I'd be okay with that because I think you can get him at a reasonable price at this point in free agency. I just don't think he has a lot left. I don't think Chris Johnson's the same guy.
Let him sit down with Tom Coughlin first, and Coughlin will talk to him and straighten him out. And if it doesn't work, then tell him to hit the road.
Appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, Johnny.
You know what I mean? Before you sign him.
No, I hear you. And, you know, obviously Tom would have Tom Coughlin would have a talk with him, and they would figure things out.
I mean, what happened with Jennings when Jennings came in to visit the Jets? All of a sudden, he walked out a Giants player.
You talking about Dominic Rogers-Cromartie?
Cromartie.
Yeah, look, and obviously if the guys come in and talk, they're going to have the conversation. But for one, you know, even putting his skill aside,
there's
also a matter of cap space. The Giants don't have much cap space left at this point, and Chris Johnson is going to want to get paid.
Well, I mean, there's not many teams left that do have that.
There are a lot of teams with plenty of cap space at this point. The Browns have a ton of cap space. The Jets have a ton of cap space. The Raiders have a ton of cap space.
But those teams are not interested in him.
I think the Jets are supposedly very interested in Chris Johnson.
But I don't see the Jets having that money to put out.
All right, appreciate the call, John.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. Randolph in Jackson, New Jersey. Randolph, what's going on, man?
100% right. We don't want him. Chris Johnson, forget it. He wants too much money. He's coming off in the operation. He's probably done, exactly. All right, first, kudos to you and Jerry Reese. You for your great work all the time, and Jerry for his great work this offseason. He has gotten so much talent with, and where he's finding his money is anyone's guess, because we were told before free agency to his own money, now he's signing guys left and right. So how he's doing it, I don't want to know, but he's doing it.
No, look, I'll tell you what, the way he's done it, Randolph, is that Jerry Reese has done a fantastic job structuring these contracts. So the cap hit in year one, you know, isn't really huge. He's done a good job of structuring these deals where you can move money back in them, you know, while at the same time not hamstringing you in future seasons.
Right. Okay, I don't talk about the draft. Okay.
Yeah. What do you got?
There's two generally accepted ways to draft. You pick the best athlete or need. I want to go to a third way, okay, believe it or not. A third way, to me, is accumulation of total talent. And what I mean is, if you need a lot of guys, you got to look at each different position and when and where you're going to get them. Let's be specific. To me, what I want out of this draft is five players. I want a center. I want a tackle. I want a tight end. I want a wide receiver, and I want a linebacker. Okay.
Okay.
Now, since I had back surgery, so I've had a week to look at this. Now, my first analysis is, and first of all, I don't know if I'm right or not. This is just what I think. I'm probably wrong. 90% of what I'm saying is wrong. This is what I think. I think you can get a wide receiver in the fourth round. All right? A good wide receiver in the fourth round.
I think fourth you might be pushing it a little bit. I think three you should be able to get somebody. Four, I think you're rolling the dice a little bit. But go ahead.
Okay. So now I need four players for three positions, because I don't think you're getting anybody after the fourth round.
That's fine.
So how am I going to do that? So some way I got to get another third rounder. I got to get another third rounder. I'm going to put that aside for a second. Now, so what am I doing? What's the important part? Now, I looked at the linebackers. I looked at all the positions. Now, the problem with the linebackers is there's only four of them that are any good, and they're all first-round draft choices. If you don't get a linebacker in the first round, you're not getting a contributing linebacker.
Well, are you looking for an outside linebacker or an inside linebacker? What are you looking for, number one?
Weak side, but I think Mosley could play that weak side.
Oh, sure he can.
I want the weak side, basically. That's what I want. I want the weak side. So, to me, the only guys are, and I'm putting Mosley, I'll fit Mosley into this no matter what.
There are two guys, though, I think, that you can get in the second or third round on the weak side that can play. I think Ryan Shazier is a guy that is a very good outside linebacker on the pro level. He should be a second-round pick. And I think if you figure out a way to use him at that weight, I think Telvin Smith could be a guy on the weak side that you could figure out a way to turn into a good pro player as well.
All right, well, I've looked at NFL.com, and NFL says the guys, Mosley's a number one, Max a number one, Barr's a number one, and Shazier's a number one. They say they're all number ones, all right?
Okay.
So I don't think you're getting them in the second round. I don't know the guy you just mentioned, the last guy. But let's put this for a side, because I think you got to go with linebacker number one. I think you got to go with linebacker number one. Now, if Barr is there, he's my guy.
Now, Barr is not a weak side linebacker, though. Barr is a strong side guy that's going to put his hand in third and rush on third downs.
Really? I thought he was a weak side guy.
No. Anthony Barr is a 3-4 outside linebacker that's more of a pass rusher than anything else.
John, you're ruining my analysis here.
I'm sorry, Randolph. I'm just trying to give you the information.
All right, well, but anyway, all right, let's assume I'm right for a second.
All right.
Can we just indulge me a minute?
I am indulging. Let's say first round, you go C.J. Mosley, okay?
Right. Well, let's say Mosley gone, let's say Max gone, let's say Barr's gone, okay? Then what I'm doing, I'm trading down to get Shazier. And that's how I'm getting my number three. So I'm trading down to get my – around 10 spots to get my Shazier. So I'm picking Shazier number one, and I'm getting a number three. Remember, I got my number four was going to be my wide receiver. All right, so I got a two and two threes to get my tight end, tackle, and center.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm
and
with
I think
you.
You can do it. I think this is doable. I think there's two centers that are both projected third round picks by NFL.com. I'll give you their names in a second. One is from Arkansas and one's from USC. They're projected third round guys. So I'm picking one of those two in the third round.
Okay.
So I got my linebacker number one. I got my wide receiver number four. I got my center number three. Then I'm picking my tackle and my tight end with my one number, with my extra number, my first number two and my other number three. How does that sound to you?
I think that's pretty good. Other guys, positions I would like to target, I think a pass rusher might be a little bit more important than a linebacker. And I would also like to get a running back in this draft. I think the team, you know, even though I'm not a big Chris Johnson guy, as John of Virginia brought up earlier, I don't think he's an answer. I would like to get another young running back in this draft that you can groom behind Rashad Jennings, especially if David Wilson can't come back healthy. So I like your plan. I could see the Giants either maybe rather than trading down the first round, they can always trade down the second round and try to pick up an extra 3-2. That's something teams often do. So I think all those things could be in the mix. Randolph, I like the work. I like the creativity. I appreciate the phone call.
Great. Thanks so much, John. Great job as always.
Have a good one, and good luck recovering from that surgery, bud. Thanks a lot. Stick on the phones. Derek is down in Atlanta, Florida. Derek, what's going on?
Good morning, John.
Good morning. What's going on, D?
I was looking at, you know, the Giants and everybody's overreaction, I think, to the offensive problems. I'm an engineer by trade, and I just think that I look at the Giants' offense like Eli hasn't, you know, forgotten how to play football, and the offense is not as bad as it looked last year. So when I'm an engineer, when something's broken, I don't throw away everything in the network. I find out what the broken piece is and try to repair that. So I go right to the offensive line. I think if we improved on the line, and I don't think we need to overreact about the offense and, you know, just go totally, you know, crazy about trying to fix an offense that I think we'll bounce back and play once the line gets better. We got a better off running back. That situation was crazy last year. Well, we didn't expect play from the running back position like that.
Derek, look, I agree. I think the offense gets better, but aren't you a little concerned that right now, other than Victor Cruz, Eli doesn't have one sure thing in terms of a guy to throw the football to? I'm not sure if you want to consider Reuben Randle that or not. Yeah. I wouldn't consider him that quite yet. But just
look at Reuben Randle's. Look at Randle, what do you call it, 40 balls last year, second-year player?
Yeah, around 50, I think.
But the progression is that he'll get better. And if you look at like someone like a Pierre Garçon, who everybody touts as one of the better receivers in the division, he started out with the same path, you know, 20, 40, 60. And so I expect that Reuben Randle will catch 65 to 70 passes this year.
If you can get 65 to 70 catches out of Reuben Randle, I think you'll be fine.
Right. And his targets will go up, obviously, because he'll play more.
Well, I had this conversation too, Derek, and sorry for interrupting you again. I've had this conversation with somebody on Twitter yesterday, and they were talking about number of catches. Number of catches is great. I'm more concerned, though, with big plays and plays down the field. You need Randle to be able to threaten defenses deep when they double-team Victor Cruz. That's what you really need out of Reuben Randle.
Well, okay, so I don't know whether – that was me who sent you that Twitter yesterday.
Oh, there we go.
About 200 – I'm thinking the Giants can get about 270 receiving reps out of that, out of the current offense. But I understand what you're thinking, but why can't he be the possession guy? And why can't we get Jernigan to be that Wes Welker guy running crosses in this new offense? And running these little 5-yard outs and everything, and catching the ball just like Wes Welker.
Sure.
And then you have Mario Manningham. If he can contribute, then we send him deep, or not. We look for that fast target in the second or third round.
There's a lot of ifs there. That's the problem, Derek. There's a lot of ifs that have to come true for your formula to work.
Well, no, I think there's only one formula that has to work. We already know that Randall can be a possession receiver. He caught 40 balls with limited with 40 targets. So if you project him over a 130 targets like a normal wide receiver would get, you can perceive him to get 65 to 70 catches. Jernigan, I don't know whether he's going to produce like he did at the end of the year last year, but, you know, we still can get quality wide receiver in the second, third round this year. So if it's someone, you know, if we pick someone in the second round, you have to project that guy, you know, at least catching 40 passes. You know, he should be good enough to catch 40 passes, or he shouldn't be in the second round.
Well, no, look, I hear you, and I think all that works. But, again, I think, you know, what you're missing there in your equation, and I think it's fine. I think if it works out the way you're talking about, the Giants' offense will be okay. But I'm not sure if having an okay offense is good enough in the present-day NFL. You know, these teams, you have to be able to make plays down the field. And somebody brought this up the other day. You know, the 49ers were a really good team. And what did they do to try to make that next step? They brought in guys to make plays deep. You know, Kaepernick became the quarterback instead of Alex Smith. They went away from that, you know, very conservative offense. They still used the power running game, obviously, but they turned into a power running game slash big play offense. And I think the Giants are going to have to figure out a way to get another deep threat to play next to Victor Cruz if this offense is going to be where it has to be next year to make the playoffs. That's my only point, Derek.
Well, I mean, first of all, a couple of years ago, we were at the top of the league with similar type of players that we currently have.
Whoa.
Akeem Nicks.
Two Pro Bowl wide receivers, Derek. Two legitimate Pro Bowl wide receivers that you don't have.
We still got a Pro Bowl wide receiver.
You have one, and you have no tight end. So you have two big holes there.
Well, who do we have tight end in? Somebody who catches 30, 40 passes?
Yeah, you don't have that guy in the roster right now.
Okay, any tight end that we want to play can catch 30 passes, John. Anybody. I mean, even if you put Robinson out there, he's going to catch 30 passes if he plays a whole year at tight end.
Well, remember, those guys that caught 30 passes, though, too, were excellent blockers. So I'm not sure you're going to get 30 to 40 catches and excellent blocking out of whomever. You can't just throw somebody in there and get that.
But the formula I'm thinking of is that you don't have to have a great offense. You just have to have a functional offense, and you have a stud defense. So that's why I'm Team Evans and Team Donald, because I don't think Evans will get to us. But I do think Donald will get to us. And if we can get Donald and create a defense that's basically one of the best defenses in a division or in an NFC, then that will – I've seen teams go to the Super Bowl with average to a little bit better than average offense.
Yeah, but you're assuming this Giants defense is going to be to the caliber of San Francisco and Seattle, and I'm not sure that to that point. I mean, you have a very good secondary. Other than John Beeson, you don't have any big-time playmaking linebackers. And if you draft Aaron Donald, I mean, he's a rookie. You know, you don't know what you're going to get out of him in his first year. And you don't have a premier pass rusher unless JPP becomes his old self. So, look, I know the Giants' defense has improved, folks. I still don't think it's a, you know, top-two defense, top-three defense. I would not put them in the category of the 49ers and the Seahawks just yet. Let them prove it first.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, I wouldn't put them at the top, but I don't even think you have to be number one or two. I mean, if you're in that top 10 defense, and we were in top 10 defense last year, right?
Yeah, they were eight. Here's my point, though, Derek. If you're only going to be number eight or number nine defensively, you better be top 15 offensively. And I don't think right now this is a top 15 offense.
And you don't think that we're a top 15? You don't think you don't think that we're going to be a top 15 offense?
If you don't add a significant playmaker, either through free agency after the draft or in the draft with the first or second round pick, a significant playmaker, I do not believe the Giants are a top 15 offense next year.
And I think that most of our problems stem from the bad offensive line. And then if we fix the offensive line, or we're fixing the offensive line, our offense will go back to what it similarly looked like as a productive offense in years past.
Hey, look, Derek, you might be right, and the guy who all the pressure is going to be on is the guy we've talked about the most during this call is Ruben Randle. How much can he improve in year three? If he can step up and be a 70 to 75 catch guy for 1,100 yards, then I'm going to be wrong. But Ruben Randle has not shown.
He's progressing that way.
Wait, hold on, Derek. Hold on 1 second.
His yards are 40 receptions for over 600 and something yards.
What did Ruben Randle do in his last six or seven games last year?
What did anybody do last year?
He did squat.
You can't project that offense because look at you can say what did Eli do? What did the running backs do? What did the other wide receivers do?
Yeah.
They didn't do anything. The whole offense didn't do anything.
That's my point. That's why you got to get better there because the offense was so bad last year.
It's because of the offensive line.
It was a part of it. It wasn't all of it.
It's a broken part. A lot of the things, going back to my engineering scenario, is that a lot of things down the line is not going to work if the front-end stuff is not working. So fix the front-end stuff. And then the other stuff will start working again. And that's where I'm just saying, John.
Derek, great phone call. I appreciate it, bud.
Before I go,
yes.
I just want to ask you, could you project some of the wide receivers we could take in the second and third round?
Yes, I can do that for you. All Derek, right. Thanks for the call, and thanks for hitting me up on Twitter. Good stuff, man. Best of luck.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a good one. Derek. You know, you can tell by the way he put things together, he sounds like an engineer. Guessing either mechanical or electrical. My guess. Next time he calls in, he'll have to let me know. All right. Potential second or third round wide receivers. If Kelvin Benjamin can get to you in the second round, I think that'd be great. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. Not sure if Odell Beckham's going to get to you in the second round. I think Jarvis Landry will be there. You know, his bad 40 time at the combine might scare you a little bit, but, you know, he had a ton of production at LSU. Brandon Cook's too much of a slot guy. I don't think he's an option. Devontae Adams, some people like, not huge for me. Jordan Matthews is a guy you can look at, senior, 6'3", 212, as Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible told us a couple days ago. Before the year, he was projected as the number one wide receiver in this class. Then a lot of juniors came out, and that kind of changed the equation. Marquise Lee will be gone. Evans, obviously, is going to be gone. Let's see. Martavis Bryant, out of Clemson's a guy you might be able to get in the third round even, who's got a lot of height at 6'4", 211. So, look, there are guys you should be able to get. The big Rutgers kid, Brandon Coleman, 6'6", 225. So there are kids you can't get here in the second and third round that can play. There are. But where do you go with your tight end then? If you're picking a wide receiver at 2. Then you got to wait till 3, and then all of a sudden – you're stuck with whoever's left, and you're not getting your choice of guys. You know what I mean? And then that's a risk. 201-939-4513. Charlie's in Portland. Charlie, what's up?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing great, Charlie. How about you?
Hey, geez, I'm going to have to calm you down today, huh?
I'm doing okay, Charlie. Yeah, I'm
no,
all right.
I know. I'm just kidding. Hey, just a little bit about Chris Johnson. And I think the value of Chris Johnson is he can catch the ball. He is great out of the backfield. He can catch the ball. The Giants aren't going to get him anyway. The Jets will get him. But I'd use him like Sproles. You put him out. You can use him in different areas. You can use him as a wide receiver. I think he'd be a big play guy on the offense just because of his pass-catching ability. That's where I think his value is. Not as so much like running up the middle, even though he could split time with Jennings until Wilson gets back. But I think it's outside passing. So that's the value of him. Going on, let's see. Like you're saying, John, I think all we need is one big play receiver or tight end on the offense, and we'll be fine. So we either got to get a really good tight end, or we have to get a really good wide out, or at least somebody who can stretch the field.
I agree.
Now, you know, just knowing Jerry Reese, he's not going to pick anybody like that. He's going to go defensive or he's going to go offensive line. If any of those three offensive linemen drop down, he's going to take them, and he'll probably take a defensive tackle if they really love Donaldson. Is it Donaldson or Donald out of Pittsburgh? So I don't think he's going to pick anybody in the wide receiver or tight end position, you know, one or maybe even two. I just think that's his nature. But Then there's the wide receivers. All we need someone is to stretch the field. I mean, there's a couple wide receivers in still in free agency that he'll be able to get for pennies, which he loves. So it's either going to be Rice or Miles Austin. You take a flyer on these guys. If Rice is right, I mean, he can really, you know, stretch the field because he.
I know, but he hasn't done anything like 3 years, Charlie.
Yeah, but
I'm done with Sidney Rice.
He can pay peanuts, too, and he'll bring them in, just like they did Murphy. What did Murphy do? He was supposed to stretch the field and be the guy. He never even got on the field, which I could never understand. But, you know, but that's the type of thing I think they're going to go. And the other, just about the offense, I mean, if I was Giants people, fans out there, you know, it takes a while for an offensive line to gel. We're going to have so many new people on that line working together. It takes a long time for guys to gel. When we won the Super Bowl, you know, we had an offensive line in 2007 that was together for a long time, and they were excellent because they worked together. You know, they weren't all great players, but they had worked together for so long. They became such a cohesive unit that they worked. So we're going to start off with about two or three new people in the offensive line, and they're going to take a while. The first four, five, six games, it's probably going to look a little bit ugly, you know, because it takes a while for a line to gel.
No, Charlie, look, I think you would hope that with all the veterans on the line that they've added, that they'd be able to gel relatively quickly. And I think it'll help that you have five preseason games this year instead of four playing that Hall of Fame game. So I think all that will help. But, yeah, I do think in some ways it will be a bit of a work in progress, you know, especially since we don't know how much Chris Snee is going to be able to practice day in, day out with coming back from these hip surgeries. You know, and you know, the center, Walton, hasn't played in 2 years.
Exactly,
so
that's what I'm saying.
No, I agree with you.
You know, it's going to take a while for them to gel.
I'm so with you.
I don't know who we're playing the first five games, but I hope they're not great teams. And last time I called, I was telling you about this defensive end out of Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
His name is Emmanuel Dieke, D-I-E-K-E. He is 6'6", 270. He's kind of like a JPP. He's got a great motor. He's only played two or three years in football. He's from Nigeria. And this guy you could get probably in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. He would be, and he's a defensive end, and he's definitely a pass rusher.
Got it.
So, you know, hopefully that's somebody that they might decide to take a flyer on with him. Also, John.
Yeah, real quick, John.
I don't live up in a cabin up in the woods. I live in Portland, the largest city in Maine.
Oh, okay.
Which is like rated the top five or the best cities to live in, small cities in the U.S.
That's because you're living there, Charlie.
Yeah, that's right. And also, I am a DJ. I am a DJ.
Really?
I've worked in radio for many years, but I also have my own DJ business.
You know, it's funny, Charlie. We have you're the second DJ that calls into the show. We have another guy from Pennsylvania that we haven't heard from in a while, actually, that is also a DJ.
So if you need some help, I have a DJ business. I do weddings all the time. I've been doing them for 12 years. If you need some help with music, just putting your playlist together so it flows and makes sense in the dancing part, you know, I can help you out with that.
Okay, Charlie. Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I am on Twitter.
Okay, do me a favor. Find my username, send me a tweet, and if I need your help, I know how to find you, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Charlie. I appreciate it. See, now,
okay,
this is appreciate it, man. This is a real challenge for me. See, now, now we're getting into wedding stuff, and this is going to – Charlie's going to regret this. So, as you guys well may know, I'm getting married in June out in Des Moines, Iowa, where my future wife is from. So heading out to the Midwest, much cheaper, which is really the whole point of the whole thing. Now, we have decided, mostly based on past experience of going to weddings, that DJs, to me, more often than not, ruin receptions rather than help them. They're annoying, they're loud, they're obnoxious, okay? Now, one of my jobs here is that I'm an editor in terms of audio. I don't do video, but I do edit audio. So it's my opinion that I'm going to be able to put together here the playlist and edit it together and flow from song to song just as well as any DJ. That's my opinion. I've done stuff like that before for our opens and commercials and stuff like that. So we've sent out our invitations, or they will be out next week. And then everyone's supposed to request a song coming back. So now, my big project for the month before the wedding is putting together all those song requests and actually pre-editing a three-hour playlist for the dancing portion of the reception. So that's going to be one of my big things. And you know, maybe I will reach out to Charlie to see if he has any ideas. But that'll be fun. Fair, I'm going to break it down. I've like, you have like, you know, the hip hop portion. You're going to have like an 80s portion. You have like the old people music portion. So like, you know, the old school stuff for the wedding that people like a lot. So that'll be a challenge. Then we have to have a separate track too for the cocktail hour, which is, you know, a little more calm down type of stuff. So yeah, that's going to be my big project. It's going to be fun. And I just lost about 1,000 listeners. 201-939-4513. Marcus is in Philadelphia. Marcus, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, John? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Marcus. Good to hear from you, bro. How are you?
I'm all right. Good luck on the wedding as well. Congratulations.
Thank you.
No problem. I just actually have a couple comments and a couple questions, and I'll make them very brief. A couple of calls ago stated about C.J. Mosley early. Me, myself, personally, I don't think a linebacker is something that we should look for in the first one or two rounds.
I agree.
I just think that, you know, Perry Fuel runs a lot of three safety look, and hopefully if Stevie Brown can come back healthy, you can bring maybe Antrell or Will Hill up close to the line of scrimmage, and they can actually act as another linebacker. So I don't think we should waste a pick on a linebacker, you know, that fast in the draft. That's just my opinion. And then another caller called about Chris Johnson. I don't want any parts of Chris Johnson. I agree with you 1,000%. I just think that Tennessee used this guy all up on his first couple of years, and even though he's still 28 years old.
I think he's like 28, right? Something like that?
Yeah, I think his tank is on E. And, you know, these athletes, a lot of them, their mindset is still that they're worth all of this money. So he's going to want big money.
I agree.
And we got too many other needs to address to spend money on this guy. So I'm very satisfied with Rashad Jennings. And, you know, I'm happy with him. So I wouldn't want to touch Chris Johnson. Now, question is, you know, I'm down here in Philadelphia. The big talk has been about this whole DeSean Jackson garbage. My thing is, there are rumors going around that they're going to try to move up to get Mike Evans. So my question to you is, and this is one of my questions.
Now, Marcus, real quick, the Eagles do have a bunch of extra mid-round picks this year, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Right, they do.
Okay.
They do. Now, my question to you is, if Mike Evans magically falls into our lap at number 12, do you think we would, if they call the Giants, which could be kind of crazy because they are in the division, but, you know, they call us, they want to give us, you know, swap ones, give us maybe an extra two and say extra five if that, to move up to get them. Would that be something that you think the Giants would entertain, or would they go ahead and grab Mike Evans because he's somebody that I think we would covet and could really help our offense?
Well, honestly, and I've said this before, Marcus, the scouts aren't back yet. So the Giants don't even have their draft board put together, to be quite honest with you. So I can't tell you, and frankly, you know, if I didn't know, I couldn't tell you, you know, if they think that highly of Mike Evans. But from a theoretical perspective, would the Giants be willing to do business on draft day with a team from their own division? I think if they thought it helped them, I don't think they would rule anything out. I think they'd be hesitant to do it because, you know, the last thing you want to do is help out an opponent. But I think if the Giants believe that, you know, the Eagles pick, what, around 18 or 19, something like that?
They pick 22.
They pick 22. So that's a far drop. Honestly, I don't think the Giants would drop all the way down to 22 and make a deal with Philly. I think that would be too risky, and I think the negative impact could potentially be too strong, but I do think they would have a conversation and listen to what the Eagles had to say.
I got you. I've been calling over the last couple of weeks, and I've just been really, really big on Eric Ebron, but I guess the more you do research and the more you read and things like that, and nothing against Ebron, I still love him, and I still would love to have him at 12, but I just look at a lot of the other tight ends that are left, like the kid Troy Nicholas from Notre Dame, who I've been reading is the most complete tight end out of all the tight ends in the draft. And he ran a 4.7 140, which is 2 seconds, if you will, slower than Eric Ebron. So I just hope that, you know, Mike Evans falls in our lap. That would be an awesome, awesome pick. I just mean myself personally, if we can get Eric Ebron at 12, that'd be great, but I would prefer Mike Evans up front. And that's pretty much all I have, man. You're doing a great job, John. I enjoy the show every day, man, and I'll just finish listening to you off the air.
Thanks for the call, Marcus. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. And you know what? I think I'd probably lean to Evans over Ebron, to be honest with you, just thinking about it. I'm still kind of on the fence about it. But honestly, guys, I don't think Evans is going to be there for you at 12. I really don't. 201-939-4513. Jerry is down in Trenton, New Jersey. Jerry, what's going on, pal? How are you?
What's going on, John? How you doing?
I'm doing right, Jerry. How's everything with you?
I'm all good. It's first-time caller here. Been listening to you guys for a while now, but I just decided to call in today.
Well, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, bud. What's up?
All right. This Aaron Donald thing. I am high on this guy. I like this guy. I think he can be very productive. But my man is not he's not catching touchdowns. We have three other defensive tackles who can play. Oh, Mike Patterson, Colin Jenkins, and we got Hankins, who we got last year. I don't think we need to waste our number 12 pick for another D tackle. I think if Evans is there, take him. We have to get him. If he's not there, which I don't think he will be, we have to go Eric Ebron. My man can stretch the field. He'll open things up for Victor Cruz. He'll help Ruben Randall out, what he can do. Rashad Jennings will help that out. I think if we go Ebron in the first, second round, we can still get a pretty good wide receiver. We can get a guy like Martavis Bryant, which I'm very high on. I think my man could be a burner. He could stretch the field. I think maybe like a Landry kid from LSU, maybe. He's pretty good. Kelvin Benjamin. All these guys could drop to the second round. And I keep hearing about the Giants' offense. They're okay. They're mediocre. Why not be a great offense? Why not go get Eric Ebron? And then in the second round, get a great wide receiver who could be our number one. Why not have a great offense and have a pretty good defense as we have now? I just don't understand, Giants fans. I don't understand. What do you think?
Well, I think the way people are looking at it is that they believe that Donald is the best player available at 12. And I get the argument. Look, I think he's a much safer pick than Eric Ebron. I think there are fewer holes in his game. So I understand from that perspective why Donald would be a more attractive prospect. But I tend to look at it more the way you do, Jerry, in that where the Giants need the most help is offense. And that's they haven't addressed it in free agency except for a couple guys on the offensive line. And they've really only added one surefire starter. I think J.D. Walton is still a bit of a risk. So I agree. I think your focus in this draft has to be getting this offense more explosive, more consistent, and just give Eli some weapons. Look, all these cornerbacks and all these defensive signings, they're not going to mean a hill of beans if you can't get Eli playing the way he did 2 years ago. And you got to give him some guys to throw the football to.
Exactly. And why not go get the number one tight end? If he's the next Vernon Davis, why not go get him? Why not take him? Why not have him stretch the field? Yeah, he might not be able to block that well. He can learn. He can learn. He has the physical frame to learn. It's not that difficult. And he'll help everyone else out with that down the seam. People won't be able to stop him. Safeties, linebackers, they won't be able to guard him. That'll open everything up for Victor Cruz and Rashad Jennings, our running game, which we need.
I agree. Jerry, what can I tell you? I think we're on the same
page. It's tough, man. It's tough. I know, and I love Aaron Donald. I saw the film on him. He's great. He's a great player, but he's just not what we need at this point at number 12.
I appreciate.
And also, I got.
Yeah, go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. One more thing.
No, you're good.
About the Eagles, do you really think that's even possible for them to do that? From 22, they would have to jump into the top 10. To get Mike Evans.
Yeah, and you know what? And Dave Goodman, one of our good tweeters, just pointed out the Eagles actually only have 6 picks this year in the draft. They do not have any extra mid-round picks. So I think if they want to jump all the way up to 12 all the way up to like 8 or 7 from 22, they'd probably have to trade next year's number 1 in order to do that.
Exactly, and that's a lot for them.
It is.
I think that's a lot, and they have to shore up their defense. Their defense is horrible right now. They signed Mike Jenkins. He's a bum.
So
I think I hope they don't get Mike Evans. I hope that's not even possible. I hope he lands right in our lap.
Well, quite frankly, I think if the Eagles stay at 22, they can draft a guy like Kelvin Benjamin, which I think would be a pretty good fit for them at 22.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate the call.
All
thanks,
right.
Jerry.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, man. You know,
have a good one.
You too. I think Malcolm Jennings is a pretty good player. I mean, I'm not going to call him a bum. Mike Jenkins, the former cornerback, is maybe more in that bum category. 201-939-4513. Three more callers, and then we're going to say goodbye. Let's go to Montrell down in Miami. Montrell, what's going on this morning? How are you?
Hey, How you doing, John?
Doing well, Montrell. What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about this guy that I know about. I should have brought his name up a long time ago. Dominic Easley. Where do you see him going? Have you done any research on this guy from University of Florida?
You know what? One of the guys that we talked to on Monday, Rick Saratella from NFL Draft Bible. You can follow him at NFL Draft Bible on Twitter. Called him one of his sleepers of the draft. He was one of the highest-rated defensive linemen and defensive ends heading into this college football season, but he tore his ACL. I think it was in the summer, actually. He didn't actually play this year. And he has a lot of potential. If he can figure out a way to get healthy and stay healthy, he had another serious injury back in 2010, if memory serves me right. So he's a guy that's one of those boom or bust picks. So if you want to try to draft another Marvin Austin type, go there and draft, you know, Dominic Easley. It might work out better, but I think there's a lot of risk there. I wouldn't take him as high as round two. I think he's more of a, you know, round four, maybe round three type of guy. But he is someone that has all the physical ability, physical skills and talent and ability to be a big-time pass rusher in the NFL. He's just had a lot of injury problems, including a torn ACL his senior year.
Yeah, because that's what I was looking at. Because I like Ebron as well, and I love Donald from Pittsburgh. But
he's good.
I was thinking that, okay, this guy, before those injuries, they had him rated right under Clowney, Jadeveon Clowney. Defensive ends / defensive tackles in this draft before those injuries.
Yep.
So I was thinking, okay, if we can draft this guy instead of Donald, we can draft this guy easily from Florida in the third round. Now we can go get Ebron in the first round. And my guy, this receiver, I love this guy, Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt.
I think that'd be an excellent second round pick. I think Jordan Matthews is a hell of a player.
Yeah, in the second round. And probably Dominic Easley in the third round. What do you think about that? What would you grade that?
I would be pretty happy with that draft. I'd be a little worried you didn't take an offensive lineman, but I would do that in round four. I go and I take either a guard or a center in round four that hopefully is good enough where, you know, maybe he can't start right away this year, but he could start by week five or six if the Giants have any injuries. I would be okay with that draft, I think. I'd have to do a little bit more work on Easley to figure out exactly where he is in terms of his injury, but I think that would be a pretty good top four picks. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, okay. So I was thinking about that. Also, if we were to draft Jordan Matthews in the second round, how would that work with Reuben Randle? I mean, this guy has a lot of potential. I think he probably can beat out Reuben Randle. That'll be scary.
Hey, competition's a good thing,
you know,
man. Dude, Montrell, competition's good. You know, the more guys you get in there to compete with one another and push each other, that's a good thing. And I know a lot of other people are willing to, you know, count on Drell Jernigan. Look, I'm not putting as much stock in the final three games of last year as everybody else is. He still has a ton to prove to me this summer. He really does.
Okay, what do you think about Mario Manningham? Do you think he could come back to where he was before? Do you think? Because he's been out for a while, so.
Coin flip. You know, roll the dice, 50-50. I'm not sure how much he has left. Let's wait to see him on the field. I'm honestly not sure what he's going to get. What he's going to do. I haven't seen him run. I haven't seen him work. Until I see that, it's really no more than a guess.
Okay. All right. Thanks, John.
All right. Appreciate the call, man. 201-939-4513. The Donald Camp on Twitter is starting to get upset. And guys, no one's saying that it's a waste to make the defense a top five defense. But again, does drafting Aaron Donald make you a top five defense? I think it helps. I mean, I don't know if it puts you there for sure. I mean, is Donald that much better than Colin Jenkins right now? Seriously. You have the defense where it is now. How much better in terms of points allowed per game or defensive ranking, however you want to do it, does Donald either over Jenkins or in addition to Colin Jenkins make this defense? I think it makes it better. Does it put you over some type of proverbial hump? I'm not sure I'd go that far. 201-939-4513. And again, guys, I've said it a million times. I love Aaron Donald. I think he's going to be a great pro. I really do. But talking about just this year, I know you got to look further ahead than that. Jenkins is older. He's only got 2 years left on his deal. And Donald's the perfect replacement down the road for him. No question about it. These dynamic pass-rushing defensive tackles like Geno Atkins do not come around very often. I agree with that as well, Twitter. But Just saying. I'm worried about the offense. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Frank is down in Tampa Bay, Florida. Frank, what's going on, man? Good morning.
Good morning, John. Great interview again.
Thank you.
Just a great interview. You know, I was peacefully relaxing this morning and listening to the great show, but then I just felt compelled to weigh in a bit on this Donald situation. And, you know, the other thing, basically, you know, what you were saying just a moment ago struck me as well. Is he better than, you know, Cullen Jenkins? I mean, at best, this is going to be number 12 pick who's going to alternate at his position. No one thinks he's going to put Jenkins on the bench.
Well, he's not going to put Jenkins on the bench for entire games at a time. But look, if Donald's here, he will get 40 snaps a game. If they draft him in the 12, he will get 40 snaps a game.
Right. Oh, and I agree, but he's not going to be an every down starter, and you know, and he's a rookie. But here's what I feel about him. And I go back to, first of all, Mr. Mara, and the offense is broken, and I know how much you feel about that as well. And I go back to Jerry Reese, because he's done nothing at all for the skill positions, you know, basically in the, you know, we know a little bit, but, you know, the skill positions, basically nothing.
He has time, and though. Remember, there is still time in free agency. Some guys might get cut after June 1st. The Giants get David Boss's money back on the cap after June 1st, which is about $5 million. They have about $3 million or so left now. They can use that on the draft pick. So after June 1st, they could have another $5 million or so to play with if a skill position guy becomes available. So free agency isn't necessarily out of the mix completely, because you don't know who's going to be a post-June 1st cut.
Oh, yeah, and the only reason I brought it up is that because, you know, to date he hasn't. But, the you know, if he were to take Donald at 12, yeah, to me, it would show just enormous guts and courage of his convictions, because I think that he would basically be putting his job on the line if he were to do that. Because, you know, the one thing that you cannot do is strike out with a number 12 pick. And the guys, you know, the writers that you've brought in, done his wonderful interviews, you know, Evans and Ebron and the O-line and Martin, you know, that discussed all those guys, and never once did anybody say this guy is not going to be a solid pro, you know, there's no bust potential, etc. But, you know, with Donald, I couldn't help but sense just that tiny little bit of doubt that this guy's 285. You know, I put him up against, like, Schwartz, for instance, you know, our new guy, giving away 55 pounds to a seasoned man, you know, of 20, full-grown man of 28 years old. You know, they're a dime a dozen in this league, along with their skill levels. And I just sense that nobody would be shocked if this guy turned out could not play at that level in this league at that size. Nobody would be shocked, and that scares me.
Frank, what I'll say is this. If you want to go based on safe, and what pick would be the safest at 12, this is how I would order it. I think if you pick one of the offensive tackles at 12, that's probably your safest pick. Your second safest pick, in my opinion, would be Aaron Donald. Your third safest pick would probably be Evans, and your fourth safest pick would probably be Ebron. I think whenever you draft skill position guys, I think there's always more risk than drafting either offensive or defensive linemen, because so much of what those guys do up front has to do with physicality, size, strength, and you can measure that. I think once you get into the skill position guys, you know, things like savvy and route running and intelligence, learning an offense, those are the type of things I think are a little bit more difficult to judge. So those guys are, in many cases, always going to be inherently more risky than the guys you pick up front.
Yeah, see, I see it a little differently. I think, I don't know how you can, you know, the guys that Donald has pushed around at the college level, you know, have been, you know, 300-pound linemen that are never going to see a cup of coffee in the league. And, you know, you're going to get enormous men with enormous strength, with enormous, you know, experience. And you really can't test that until they come in. And so when you're saying short arms, too small, you know, giving away 55 pounds, to me that is an enormous risk. And, yes, he has dominated. But, again, I think it'd be more of a shock if Evans or Ebron couldn't suddenly catch the ball.
Well, you know what, Frank, I think the thing about it, though, in terms of Donald, I think the red flags and the worries you're talking about is why before, or rather when the season ended, he was considered a second-round pick. But against the best competition in college football at the Senior Bowl, guys that will be playing in the NFL, he dominated. He goes to the combine. He dominates in terms of strength and quickness and speed. So all of his measurables in terms of his physical athletic ability and strength measures up to NFL players. He already dominated the best college football players coming out in the draft at the Senior Bowl. That's why I don't think Donald is a risky pick. He's done it against the best competition, and his raw physical ability puts him in the upper echelon of NFL players.
And I sure hope so, but I just that weight disadvantage just really scares me on that size, and let's hope it doesn't get. But I do think that Reese would be showing enormous guts to do it, because A, to not go offense, and then B, to have any kind of, you know, bust potential with that pick, I think would be, I think it would cost him his job. But one other quick thing, John, I want to ask you. Jennings, is he an upgrade as a blocker? Can he make up some of those catches? Can he catch a screen pass? And, you know, can he catch and go, or is he just a possession kind of guy?
Jennings is
out there?
Jennings is a big improvement as a third down player. I think he's a much better receiver right now than he is a pass protector. He can still use a little work in that area, though he's way far ahead of where, say, you know, David Wilson is, for example, as a pass blocker. I think he can get a little bit better, but I think he's good enough, and he can also catch the ball out of the backfield. I think he's going to be used as a very valuable weapon as a pass receiver in this West Coast offense, kind of the way, and I'm going to, you know, date myself here, the way Ricky Waters used to be used as a pass receiver in the old 49ers offense, the way Amon Green used to get used as a pass receiver in the old Green Bay Packer offense. You know, that's, I think, is how he's going to be used. And, yeah, I think he was fifth or sixth in the league last year, Frank, and for running backs in terms of yards after contact. So he's not just a catch the ball, run 3 or 4 yards, and fall down type of guy.
Excellent, John. Thanks so much. Love the show.
Hey, thank you, Frank. Appreciate it as always, my friend. All right. Looks like we lost Roy in South Carolina. Roy, you're going to be up last, but I guess we're going to wrap up. That's the last call. Let me see. I got a couple more tweets coming in here. Ted Crum, Mara is not making the picks. He hired people who do a better job at it than he does, which is all true. John Mara will, you know, probably give the thumbs up on these picks, but he lets Jerry Reese do his job. Bottom line. Offensive broke comment, not driving the draft. See, that's where I'm going to disagree. If you don't think Jerry Reese in the back of his mind is thinking, oh, man, this offense better get better this year or we're all in trouble, remember, the ownership still signs the checks. And everyone saw how bad this offense was last year, including the coach. Remember, the coach is an offensive guy. They hire a new offensive coordinator. Trust me. If you don't think Tom Coughlin and Ben McAdoo are in people's ears like, yo, we need some help here, guys. We need to get some weapons. I think you're wrong. I think that is a big thing. NFL Gents, buzz potential Donald over Lewin, question mark. I mean, Lewin has the off-the-field stuff. I don't think anybody doubts his ability on the line. Stu DeMeglio, if Evans is gone, would you take Kelvin Benjamin over Ebron? No chance. No chance. Would not. I think Ebron's a much better player than Kelvin Benjamin. And H. Carson fan, Jennings is excellent at screens, has good hands. Besides running with an attitude, I agree. I think Jennings, well, you know me. I love Rashad Jennings. He's like my guy this year. No one will be rooting harder for Rashad Jennings than me. But if he plays terribly, oh, I'm going to hear it from you guys. I know that. Same thing with Jeff Schwartz. If he plays bad, oh, boy, I'm not going to hear the end of it. Then I listened to Dettino yell about Ben Tate for a whole year. No one wants to hear that. No one. Everybody, good job on Twitter. Good job on the phones this morning. We thank Greg Giannotti for joining us as well. You'll find this archive up on the Giants website later on today. I'll be with you tomorrow. We'll be joined by Eric Kennedy from Big Blue Interactive. Find out what's going on in the message boards. Then I am gone Thursday and Friday. Last minute, still 2 months before, but last time to go out for wedding preparations out there in Iowa. Lance will be with us on Thursday and Friday. I confirmed with him. He says he can do it. So you have the little guy to pick on Thursday and Friday. You can get a different opinion here on some of these draft picks. I'm sure Lance will have some interesting things to say on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Much appreciated. We'll see you tomorrow morning right here on Giants.com.